Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of Eye on the Enemy, powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we are going to continue taking our deep dive into the NFL draft. It's just a little over a week away now. And joining us in just a couple of minutes is Hayden Winks, first-time guest here on Eye on the Enemy. He's with the website Underdog Fantasy. He had written for NBCSports.com as of a few weeks back and had a piece out for them where he detailed all of the needs that NFC East teams needed heading into the NFL draft. So we'll talk to him in just a couple of minutes. He'll help us break down what the Eagles will probably do or what they might do or what they should do, as well as the Washington football team, the Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Giants. So all that's coming up here in the next few minutes of Eye on the Enemy. First, just a reminder, continue to check out BleedingGreenNation.com every day for the latest news, rumors, notes about the NFL draft. It is right around the corner. We're going to have rankings, and we're going to have a ton of podcasts coming your way next week. Lots of reaction shows, lots of reaction pieces. You want to know what's going on with the Eagles in the draft? BleedingGreenNation.com and the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed is the place to do it. Give us a 5-star rating and a review if you haven't done so. That goes a long way to helping out our fair podcast. But before we get to Hayden, just a couple of really interesting note, actually, from the Athletic's Ben Standig, who has been doing a lot of reporting on what teams are doing ahead of the NFL draft. And he had this little nugget that after trading back to number 12 in the draft from number 6 and getting an additional first-round pick next year from the Miami Dolphins, Howie Roseman is now exploring a trade that will get the Eagles back into the top 10, which is an interesting scenario. Obviously, it would leapfrog both of the teams in the NFC East ahead of them, the Cowboys and the Giants, and would move them back up into the top 10. And when you're moving up three spots, it probably isn't going to cost you more than a third-round pick, as well as the first-round pick that you currently hold at number 12. So, you know, if you can get ahead of your NFC East, if you can get ahead of your divisional rivals and maybe get a player that they might want, steal it from them, absolutely a smart move if all you're giving up is a third-round pick. And the Eagles, as we know, have a lot of picks in the draft this year and a lot of picks in the draft next year. And so maybe there is somebody that the Eagles really have their eye on, or a certain position that the Eagles really have their eye on, and that's kind of spurring Howie Roseman to continue to wade into the trade market. It sounds to me like Howie Roseman was very happy in the number 6 spot, but got an offer from the Miami Dolphins that was too good to pass up. When he was offered a first-round pick next year, how do you not move down from number 6 to number 12 when you have all these different needs? I mean, yes, it's more exciting to pick number 6 than it is number 12, and you're more likely to get a top-notch Pro Bowl player year in and year out with a top 6 pick as opposed to a top 12 pick. But how big is the difference between those two things? How big is the difference between number 6 and number 12? And now you got that first-round pick for next year. Maybe you can move back into the top 10, jump ahead of a couple of division rivals, all for the cost of a third-round pick. I'm all for that. I'm all for making sure that the first-round pick that we get this year lands. Right, Howie Roseman has to land this first round selection, because we've seen in recent drafts, as everybody knows, that the early round selections have not gone very well. Right, I mean, we've seen Andre Dillard, we've seen J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, we've seen Jalen Reagor. Who knows what, you know, Jalen Hurts is going to be and what he's going to do? I still think that was a terrible waste of a pick, and they've been wasting picks on vanity players like Davion Taylor, who is still no closer to learning how to play linebacker and is no closer in his second year to being able to play as a regular defender on the Eagles. And so you've got all these wasted draft picks with these high picks that the Eagles have spent over these last few years. And maybe Jalen Reagor turns out to be a burner, and maybe he turns out to be a useful player in year number 2. It's not really fair. Who knows what was going on with that coaching staff last year? There were lots of other issues, right? There were lots of issues on that team that could have factored into Jalen Reagor's poor play last year, and the poor play of a number of players. But I don't know that we don't know what this new coaching staff is going to do. We don't really know how effective they're going to be at coaching up some of these young players. And so if you can move up from outside the top 10 from number 12 and maybe jump ahead of the Cowboys and the Giants and maybe snag a player that they're potentially looking at. Not only is it better for your team, it just feels good, right? It feels good. Like the Cowboys stole CeeDee Lamb from the Eagles last year, and the Eagles could have moved up, and they could have grabbed him, and they chose not to, of course, as we all know by now, because they believe Jalen Reagor fit their scheme better, which was obviously a silly thought. They could have moved up. They could have taken Justin Jefferson, and we all know, you know, the DK Metcalfs of the world. We all know the draft history. If you can move up into the top 10, it's a fewer opportunities that you're going to pass over a player that you should take in that spot. I think you're more likely to get the guy that you want in that spot. So if all it costs is a third-round pick, Howie Roseman should run to do that trade. No doubt about it. Move up a few spots, 3, 4, 5 spots, whatever it is. If it's only going to cost you a third-round pick, make that move. Get yourself more certainty by getting into the top 10 of the draft and get ahead of a couple of your division rivals. I mean, you finished last year. It's take advantage of that and pick first of all the teams in the division. So that's the latest report from the Athletic's Ben Standing. And, of course, all the mock drafts are out. We're seeing all kinds of different names attached to the Eagles there at number 12, and we're going to talk to Hayden Winks about some of those names coming up in just a few minutes. One other thing to mention before we get to our interview with Hayden, Peter King had an interesting interview on the Eagle Eye podcast. It came out on Thursday, talking about Carson Wentz and really laying the blame at the feet of Wentz for what happened in Philadelphia last year. Calling Wentz's behavior mind-boggling. He said, "I'm honestly mind-boggled by the reaction of Carson Wentz. This is the big boy league. You've got to understand that the best part of ability is availability. And if you're not there or might not be there," Peter King is talking about Wentz's injury history, "that team has to buy insurance for if you're not there. I believe, and one of the reasons why I thought Jalen Hurts was a good pick," again, this is Peter King talking, not me, "that the backup quarterback is one of the most important people on your team. Because you better be sure that if your starting quarterback gets hurt, your season is over." Now, I don't agree with King that picking Jalen Hurts was the right thing to do. I still think that was a stupid move. I think if people understand what Carson Wentz went through during the 3 years he was, his last 3 years here after the injury, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know. We were screaming about it when they made the pick that it could be damaging to Carson Wentz. It could be damaging to the locker room. We knew that. We knew all that going in, and so it's no surprise that it happened. That being said, the part that's mind-boggling with Carson Wentz, if he was upset by the Jalen Hurts pick, is understand that they paid you all this money, that they were expecting you to be the franchise quarterback, and that when you didn't perform, when you played poorly, when you played like the worst quarterback in the NFL, which, again, there was only one quarterback worse than him according to quarterback rating, that was Sam Darnold last year, when you play that way, you lose your opportunity to start. It is not Doug Peterson and the Eagles coaching staff in the front office pulling the rug out from under Carson Wentz. And there is a fair bit of, I mean, I can understand why the Eagles might have considered drafting a quarterback specifically as a backup, but you don't take a second round pick to do that. You don't use a second round pick on a guy you hope never plays, because obviously the idea is you hope Carson Wentz stays healthy and you hope he never plays. You hope Jalen Hurts never plays. But I will say it is nice to see a national reporter see what we've been saying, right? That Carson Wentz and his behavior this year, his insistence on getting traded because he was benched and for whatever other reasons, was mind-boggling. We couldn't figure it out either. Like, how can a guy not see what's happening, how he's playing, what he's doing, and not understand that what happened was justified? And it's, I think, you know, well, I'm not going to play psychologist with Carson Wentz, but it was a very interesting interview that Peter King did got released on Thursday on the Eagle Eye podcast. So, you know, obviously we want you to listen to all the Bleeding Green Nation podcasts, but check that out because it is an interesting interview as well. He had a little bit more to say about it, too. And obviously we're all hoping Carson Wentz has a big season in Indianapolis, getting the Eagles another first-round pick in next year's draft. Well, joining me to break down a little bit more about the NFL draft coming up the week after next is Hayden Winks from Underdog Fantasy. And we'll make sure you check his stuff out on Twitter @Hayden Winks. Hayden, thanks for coming on Eye on the Enemy, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk about the draft and specifically the NFC East. Hopefully they can start nailing some draft picks so we get this division up a tier, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Last year with everybody under 500, it's everybody's drafting high, at least except for the Washington football team. So it seems as though they're going to get an opportunity to do that. And of course, the latest rumor is that the Eagles are considering trading back into the top 10. They moved from 6 to 12, and now it looks like, according to the Athletic's Ben Standig, they want to get back up into the top 10. What are you hearing regarding that as a possibility, and what are your thoughts on them moving back up into the top 10? Is it counterproductive, or, you know, what would it cost?
Well, we just saw the Dolphins do this exact move, and I'm not sure if that was the best decision by the Dolphins to do that. I think that the one thing about that makes this interesting for the Eagles is the Cowboys and the Giants pick right in front of them. And they might be hunting for the same position, specifically at cornerback. We know that the Cowboys are going to be in that market, and we know that the Eagles is probably their biggest team need outside of maybe receiver. So maybe they go up to pick number 9 with the Broncos. The Broncos have historically been a trade down team. There's rumors from their beat reporters that if they don't go for quarterback, which is still TBD, that they might look to trade down. So I think that going from 12 to 9 wouldn't cost that much, maybe a day 2 pick in the future. And if that's the case and they're really confident that it's Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn that is the clear CB1, then maybe it does make some sense from the Eagles to just go ahead of their division rival.
Is this something that you think would take place kind of ahead of time, or would this be kind of like a draft night trade? Because it is interesting to see teams moving around. A lot of times you get these moves on draft night when you see how the board is starting to fall.
Yeah, I would be kind of surprised if this happened beforehand just because they don't know. Like, what if the Lions picked a corner? Because, like, they're not the only team. The Panthers could take a corner. And if that's what they're set on, and I don't really see if the Eagles want a receiver, I don't really see the need to jump ahead of the Cowboys and Giants just because that's probably their best strengths. Each one of those teams is at receivers. I think the only reason why you would move up it would be for an outside corner or perhaps a quarterback. I don't think they'll go for quarterback. I think they're actually set on Jalen Hurts, giving him a year, but I don't think this would happen before draft night just because you're like trading up for a defensive player is already pretty risky. Mm-hmm. And unless you know who exactly that player is, I don't think you would do it until you're actually on the clock.
All right. Well, let's say the Eagles stay where they are. Let's say they don't move up into the top 10 and they stick with number 12. Who do you have? There's been a ton of mock drafts out there, but who do you see as being in the window there for those guys?
Yeah, I think it'd be Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn, who, depending on who is available after the Cowboys select probably their corner. And the reason why I lean corner ahead of receiver is the depth at each position. And the outside corner depth is a little bit suspect, especially compared to the receiver. You can find slot receivers on day 2. There's probably at the top of the second round, Terrace Marshall or Rashad Bateman, Diami Brown. One of those guys could be available for the Eagles in round 2. And then even beyond that, like guys like Tylan Wallace and maybe like an Amon-Ra St. Brown might fit later, where I think that for finding a cornerstone, I would go that corner, making sure you lock up one of the premier athletes of the class and then find your Jalen Reagor counterpart on day 2.
All right. So if we're talking cornerback, wide receiver in some kind of order in the first couple of rounds, obviously, there's a balance between drafting for need, which you don't want to reach for need. But obviously, each team goes into these drafts with positions of need. What are some other areas maybe in the third, fourth round you see the Eagles could potentially be targeting?
Well, I think it'd be slot corner and linebacker. And the Eagles have had some tough linebackers for the last couple of years, and they still haven't figured out the positions, much like UDFA guys and guys on cheap contracts. Obviously, it's not as big of a position of need historically just in the NFL. And I think that the only guy that's receiving any round 1 buzz where the Eagles are selecting would be Micah Parsons, but he has some off-field issues to sort through. And I think that the corners, it would just be a better value play. So I think on day 2, day 3, you can find probably a linebacker that can compete for starting role like immediately. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the other position would be slot corner.
All the time we hear teams talk about building through the lines, and I'm not hearing much about the Eagles trying to add players on the defensive line and the offensive line. The offensive line is aging, and it's getting up there in age, and there's some interesting players there. Jordan Mailata played an interesting year of football. I'm not sure if it was good in many respects, but he certainly is much further along than anybody thought he would be. And then Andre Dillard, who was their former first-round pick who they traded up for a couple of years ago, missed all of last season. And so they have some youth in one spot there on the offensive line, but the rest of the offensive line is aging. Could you see them going offensive line early in this draft?
I could, just because I think that the Eagles have realized, I think that's why there was a coaching change. I think that's why they're kind of committed to Jalen Hurts, is I think they realized they needed to play the long game. And if you are playing the long game, it's not as much about team needs, it's about best player available. I think the closer you are to your Super Bowl, that's when you like go for your team needs. For example, is like the Bucks last year. They needed a safety. They needed a right tackle. They accomplished both of those picks, and obviously they went to the Super Bowl. So I think the Eagles know that they're kind of in a reset, because like you said, it is an aging roster, specifically on the offensive line. So I wouldn't completely rule that out. This is a team that's building for the future. I will say the one thing is interior offensive line, and even at tackle, there's a lot of guys on day two, and maybe even like into like round four, that could push for starting roles. It's one of the deeper classes in this draft.
All right, so just kind of buttoning up on the Eagles, as Eagles fans sit after day two, what does a successful draft look like for this organization?
Yeah, so I want one premier player on defense, and then I want to at least give a shot that Jalen Hurts can become the starting quarterback. I think that he needs one more receiver, whether that's if they're going to go back to two tight end sets and draft a premier tight end, or if that's going to be a wide receiver. I think one of those spots, maybe that includes the offensive line too, but I think that they should give Jalen Hurts a little more room to like be a playmaker. And I think he needs one more receiver to make that happen. And if Jalen Hurts can't do it, then you guys have three first round picks to address the quarterback situation. But I would at least try to give Jalen Hurts a chance, because he's cheap. We know he's a great person. We know he's won over the locker room already. So why not give him a shot to win the job? But I think you have to come away with one blue chip defensive player. And that's why I would be leaning cornerback here.
We're talking with Hayden Winks of Underdog Fantasy. And Hayden, a couple of weeks ago, wrote a piece for NBCSports.com detailing all of the needs that the teams in the NFC East had heading into the draft. And so kind of want to go team by team here. And let's start with the team that won the division last year. Let's start with the Washington football team. They have it's amazing how in the NFL, things can change from one year to the next. And all of a sudden you look at Washington's roster on the defensive side of the ball. They seem to have a lot of pieces there, and they were aggressive in free agency this offseason as well. The one thing they don't really have is a quarterback. And I know that was atop your list of needs for them, but it doesn't seem like something they're going to really be able to address in this year's draft, picking where they are. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so I have quarterback listed ahead of left tackle and off-ball linebacker for Washington, and they're in a little predicament. I can see one of the top five consensus quarterbacks sliding a little bit, especially if like Mac Jones doesn't go at number three like some are predicting. What if he falls down to like closer to like pick nine? Could Washington move up at that point? I think it'd be very aggressive for Washington to move up from like 19 to four, like into like the top six or seven picks. That's probably too aggressive. But their entire roster is built for the next couple years. And the only way to retain all of these defensive players, and when Terry McLaurin needs a new contract and so on and so forth, is to have that cheap quarterback. And that's something that they do have in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I do think Ryan Fitzpatrick could definitely be a one-year stopgap where if they don't need a quarterback this year or can't grab a quarterback this year, they're totally fine winning with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it really just depends on if one of those consensus top five quarterbacks falls. I think the sweet spot for them would probably be like trading up to like pick nine, where the Broncos, if they don't like one of the quarterbacks there, then that's kind of the range where I can start seeing Washington to be into that top five quarterback mix.
So kind of the same area where you're thinking about the Eagles moving up into. It'd be interesting if Washington leapfrogs all three teams in the division and moves ahead of them on draft night.
Yeah, I think the two teams inside the top 10 that I'd be paying attention to would be the Lions and Broncos, maybe even the Panthers as trade down targets. All three of those teams could be in the quarterback market, but we don't know how all these teams, just because we as like a draft community kind of gives all five of these quarterbacks round one grades. We know that's not how it works. We know that some teams just completely cross off one or two of these quarterbacks. So that's kind of like the sweet spot where you can see one of these NFC East teams slide up a couple spots.
One other thing about Washington, they've added, they added Curtis Samuel to help out with the wide receiving core, hopefully to give Terry McLaurin a running buddy on the other side of the field. And Antonio Gibson will be entering his second year in the league. He showed some flashes last year. Do they have enough at the skill positions that they don't need to really worry about that in rounds one or two?
Well, they 79% of Washington's pass attempts last year came in 11 personnel. And right now they have two franchise receivers in Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel, but they could definitely use a third receiver. I don't even know who that is currently. Yeah. And that just kind of goes to show you how little depth they have there. I think with Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas and Antonio Gibson, that's enough juice to kind of get away with the position. But I would be surprised if Washington in the third round, maybe the second round or fourth round, somewhere in that range, adds a little bit depth at receiver. Like they can easily use a second outside receiver, especially I think they need some size. Terry McLaurin's kind of on the undersized. Curtis Samuels is definitely on the undersized. A little bit, a bigger target for the red zone probably would come in handy. So maybe a big outside receiver for Washington on day two.
All right, let's look at Dallas here. And they obviously had a terrible year last year. They had a chance to add defense early in last year's drafts, but instead went with the bright, shiny object in CeeDee Lamb. And so they took him early and then really didn't get a chance to optimize him because Dak Prescott gets hurt early in the season. Dak is going to be back, and you got to imagine that the offense should hum with Dak Prescott back under center next year. So that would lead me to believe defense, and you mentioned cornerback. Where else is Dallas looking on defense to add here in the early part of the draft?
Yeah, so my team needs column. I have outside corner, free safety, defensive tackle, and then slot corner as the Cowboys' biggest needs. Like you said, they already had their luxury pick last year going CeeDee Lamb over the available corners and edge rushers. So I don't think they can get away with going another shiny object, like you mentioned. I think it's got to be outside corner. And the good news for them is most likely the Cowboys are probably going to get their choice of either the top edge rusher in the class or the top corner. There's a chance that the Cowboys at pick 10 draft the first defensive player on the board. I think that's probably the first time that it's been offense like pick 1 through 9 and like probably forever. I know like the last couple of years that at least been like pick 6 is like the latest of the defensive players gone, but I can definitely see the Cowboys being in the cornerback market. I there's not a free safety worth picking at that spot. So I think it's definitely probably corner, maybe edge rusher, but I don't think that's as big of a need as corner is.
Obviously the draft is going to change this a little bit depending on who gets selected. But right now, as we're a little over a week out from the draft, or actually it's a little less than a week out from the draft, as we're recording this on Friday afternoon, which roster is better right now in your mind, Washington or Dallas?
Washington's roster is better. The one difference is just Dak Prescott versus Ryan Fitzpatrick. So if Ryan Fitzpatrick played as well as he did last year, I think that I would give Washington the bump. Their offensive line is not great, but it is serviceable. They've added more talent at the skill positions. We already know that it's by far the best defense in the division. So who knows how good Dak Prescott's going to be coming off of injury. I'm assuming it's going to be pretty damn good. And it just could Dallas hit on one of these blue chip players on defense, because they are just desperate for finding some talent. And maybe the new coaching staff changes things on the defensive side of the ball too.
All right, let's finish up with the New York Giants. And this is the team in the NFC East I think most people forget about a lot of the time. But I think they've actually, with getting Kenny Golladay this offseason and made a couple other moves, all of a sudden Daniel Jones has a lot of talent around him at the skill positions as well. So as they enter the early stages of this draft, where do you see New York focusing their efforts?
Well, it's a make it or break it year for both Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman. If Daniel Jones doesn't improve, they can be in the quarterback market next year, especially if it's going to be a new general manager. I do think that Gettleman has surrounded Jones with enough skill talent. I mean, they're 2 deep at tight end, they're 3 deep at receiver, and they have Saquon Barkley, obviously. So they can get away with their offensive tackles after drafting Andrew Thomas last year, but offensive guard and center are both areas of need. And I think on day two, that's kind of the sweet spot. Unless they went like Elijah Vera Tucker in round one, I think that most of the guard and center talent is going to be available on day two. So for me right now, it's going to be edge rusher. And that's like the one spot on the Giants defense that they're just completely lacking. They're really deep at the safety spots and at corner. They're really deep on the interior as well. So right now it is the premier edge rusher is what they're missing. And just based off of like doing mock drafts, the top 10 picks, I would be kind of surprised if an edge rusher went there. So I think that the Giants could be a team to draft the first edge rusher off the board. Right now, there's no consensus on who that is. And there are some guys that have round one buzz that have like medical concerns. There are some guys that profile like better run defenders than like pure sack artist. So who knows if the Giants feel comfortable drafting an edge that early at pick 11, but we know Dave Gettleman never trades down. So they're going to be sticking. So I'm going to guess it's going to be the top edge rusher. I have no idea who that's going to be though.
Well, there's a lot left to go here in the next week before the NFL draft. Make sure you're following everything Hayden Winks is doing by following him on Twitter at Hayden Winks. Check out underdogfactory.com. And I know you do a podcast also, Hayden. Why don't you tell the people where they can find it?
Yeah, Josh Norris and I just started a podcast called The Underdog Fantasy Show, and that's going to be episodes twice a week. We do some fantasy content. We also talk offensive line and defense, and right now we're going through all of the draft stuff. So two more weeks with that, and then it becomes fantasy season for us.
There you go. Fantasy season right around the corner. Hayden, thanks so much for coming on Eye on the Enemy, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
BGN.